everybody, and welcome back to the Announce Table. Yes, a professional wrestling podcast covering significant events in professional wrestling. My name is Brad Gilmore, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Mr. Kyle Hubbard.
Mr. Kyle Hubbard. So you're back to the full Mr. Kyle Hubbard this week, this time around.
I have to keep people on their toes.
I see how you work, Mr. Hubbard. Oh, Mr. You Kyle know? Hubbard. I see you.
It's Kyle Hubbard this week.
We're this week, what are we doing, Kyle?
We are continuing our in-depth discussion of The Undertaker's undefeated streak at WrestleMania.
Yes, we spent an hour last time getting up to WrestleMania 20 with The Undertaker talking about his legendary undefeated streak. Now, if y'all are listening to part two of this and you haven't listened to part one, stop this podcast right now. Go back, listen to part one, and catch up with what we got right now, Kyle. Where are we at right now, Kyle?
We are at WrestleMania 21. So, at this point, The Undertaker is fully back in his dead man persona.
Mm-hmm.
He has been at this point for a long time. And he's basically been dominating leading up to WrestleMania 21. But there's a young buck that has emerged, and he wants to prove himself apart from the pack. And this person is, at this point, former World Heavyweight Champion Randy Orton. So basically, from what I can remember, the premise of this match was Randy Orton trying to embrace the whole Legend Killer thing and stepping up to The Undertaker, knowing that a victory over Undertaker at WrestleMania would make him a made man.
Yes, I do remember. You know, I enjoyed the Legend Killer gimmick.
Oh, I loved it. I think it's probably his best gimmick.
Yeah, definitely. I like it more than Apex Predator Randy Orton. Legend Killer, you know, I remember he... I mean, it was everybody. Mick Foley was, I think, the first one.
Rocky
at WrestleMania 20. God, so many people. Harley Race, Fabulous Moolah. He was just killing all kinds of legends.
He was. And this made Randy Orton. This match, I mean, okay, you have to understand going into this match that Randy Orton did win the World Heavyweight Championship from Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
So he had been champion going into this match, but, you know, as things go, it just, you know, he was quickly out of the title scene, and he was kind of, compared to his brethren, Batista, he didn't really have, what should have been happening with Randy Orton at this time wasn't, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
You know, Batista kind of taking his place as the guy in the title scene, but this match with Undertaker at WrestleMania 21, I do believe, gave Randy Orton new life moving forward.
And I agree with you. And this was actually my second favorite match on the card. I really enjoyed Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 21 so much. Love that match. But yeah, I remember this, and I remember the build up to it. I actually believe this was early on in the card too. I think it was like the third match. And I remember like they were doing something with like a casket or something, and they pull up the casket, and there was like a Randy Orton was laying in the – do you remember that? Like there was like Randy Orton laying in the casket, and he was looking at himself laying in the casket. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Another thing I never understood how they did, and which still freaks me out now that I'm thinking about it. imagine if you're like going into a match with somebody and there's a casket rolled out. You open the casket and you see yourself laying dead in it.
That's some powerful imagery right there.
Whoa! I'm just, like, it's just registering to me how crazy I would be if I saw that. Like, I'm literally kind of getting, like, chills thinking about it.
That's The Undertaker, man.
That is The Undertaker. Randy came out with Cowboy Bob Orton.
His father.
Cowboy Bob had the cast on, I remember, which is the infamous cast. And I remember they used it on The Undertaker. And I thought Undertaker was going to be over at that point. And then Randy Orton picks Undertaker up to give him a tombstone piledriver. And Undertaker shifts his weight and gives him a piledriver of his own. And boom, gets the 1-2-3 win. I actually thought that Randy Orton was going to beat The Undertaker at this WrestleMania.
Legitimately. So you really thought that it could go to Randy Orton this time?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they were definitely going to give it to Orton. I was like, what a better way to make this guy a megastar than
absolutely,
to beat Undertaker,
for sure.
You know, giving him, you know, he's 12-0 at this point, giving him his, you know, first loss to be 12-1. I thought, wow, this is going to make him the biggest thing ever.
Right. And it's important to note that, okay, at this point, the streak is a thing. People are, you know, people talk about the streak. It's acknowledged on TV and everything like that. But it's still in the realm of possibility at this point that someone could break it. I would say that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. It wasn't so – it was prestigious, don't get me wrong. And beating The Undertaker in general was prestigious. But it wasn't as like, oh, my God, this is the streak, you know. No, it's like – it was still a big deal, but – I remember I thought Orton was going to win, and I was actually nervous watching the match, hoping that Undertaker would pull it out of victory. He did. And I think this was like another interpromotional match for Undertaker. Randy was on Raw. Undertaker was on SmackDown. Undertaker actually went on to have a feud with Muhammad Hassan. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah, I do.
And UPN, which was the television network that carried SmackDown at the time on Thursday nights, actually banned Muhammad Hassan from the network. They didn't want the character being portrayed on the television show. And that ended the feud that they had together. And
that's such a shame. I remember being kind of excited for that character. And he never really, the guy that portrayed the character, he never bounced back.
No, I never saw him again. And actually at WrestleMania 21, I believe he had a whole segment with Hulk Hogan. At WrestleMania.
Yeah, they did.
So, like, they were giving him a huge rub. Yeah, him and Daivari. A few months later, though, Randy and Undertaker had another match at SummerSlam. Randy ended up getting the win there. And then Orton, both Ortons ended up teaming together, Cowboy Bob and Randy Orton, and beat The Undertaker in a 2-on-1 handicap casket match. And then they set the casket on fire. And the feud eventually ended at Armageddon when Undertaker beat...
This is a good lengthy feud.
Yeah, they dragged this out for pretty much the whole year. The feud ended at Armageddon when Undertaker beat Randy Orton in a Hell in a Cell match. So it was actually a really good feud that they had that year.
Yeah, I think this was a huge, huge... just everything about this feud was huge for Randy Orton, and it all started with that WrestleMania match.
Yeah, WrestleMania 21... Undertaker's 13th victory, so he's 13-0 now. Going into WrestleMania 22, which I believe was in Chicago, Illinois, and he had another specialty match of his. The Undertaker fought the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, in a casket match.
Yeah, and this was kind of a carryover of his feud with Muhammad Hassan, whose manager was Daivari, mm-hmm. and by the time of WrestleMania 22, Daivari was now managing Mark Henry, mm-hmm. Undertaker's opponent for the night. So there's a little bit of a carryover with Daivari from what happened after 21, leading up to 22.
Yeah, and Daivari ended up being injured, I think on Saturday, on Saturday night's main event, I actually think.
Right, yeah.
And Undertaker gave him a tombstone on top of a lid of a casket. So it set up the casket match.
There you go. That's how you set up a casket match. It's the only way to set it up.
I believe this match was really short, though.
I think it was. This is another one that... This match, I don't think, was terrible, but it's not, like, something that people are going to talk about forever.
It wasn't high up, and I think, you know, it was pretty much a tombstone and roll Mark Henry into the casket.
Yep.
That was pretty much the extent of the match, honestly. And then after that, though, is when I think it was like a week later, they had a rematch. I remember watching this on SmackDown. I believe this is Friday Night SmackDown. And they had a rematch in the ring. And then all of a sudden, someone starts walking out from the entrance ramp. You see Daivari with them. And it's a huge man, about 7 feet tall, it plus, right? Big Indian-looking guy, ended up being the Great Khali, but he didn't have a name at this time. He came out on SmackDown, and it was just crazy. He like pulled the turnbuckle like off, and like I remember padding going everywhere, and I remember he like chopped the Undertaker or something, or choke slammed him or something.
And just like dominated him, didn't he?
Yeah, and it was just like crazy to see. You're like, whoa, that's crazy. And it was actually supposed to set up the first Punjabi prison match, but the Great Khali wasn't medically cleared from the show because he had like high enzyme levels or something like that.
But they replaced him.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Was it Show? Was it Big Show?
Maybe. It could have been Big Show. I don't really remember, but
look that up.
I have.
But basically, this is good to point out because Great Khali was basically Giant Gonzalez reincarnated.
In a lot of ways, you know, I actually had the opportunity to meet the Great Khali at Booker T's gym, and when I say that he is the biggest man I've ever seen in my entire life, it's crazy how big that guy actually is. He looks like he could literally just snap your neck in two.
That's insane.
It's scary. Nice guy.
Wow.
Really nice guy. Scary big. Like, I was afraid scary for my big. Life a little bit. Super nice though. Super nice guy. But I believe Undertaker actually ended up beating Great Khali in a Last Man Standing match on SmackDown.
Right, yeah, that's correct.
So, going into WrestleMania 23, Undertaker's already defeated Triple H. He's already defeated Ric Flair. He's already defeated Randy Orton. So there's one more person who was a part of Evolution that the Undertaker needed to defeat. That, sir, was the Animal, Batista.
Yay!
I know, a favorite of yours. but this year, I think Undertaker won the Royal Rumble. His first Royal Rumble victory, entered at number 30 conveniently.
Conveniently, and it led to him winning the whole shebang.
And I believe it was the first time someone entered at number 30 and won.
Yeah, which is like, how does that not happen every time? But I digress.
Yeah, yeah. How could at this time someone win entering number one twice and not win at number 30?
It's that false sense of security that they go in with.
It really is. They psych themselves out. They think they got it all in the bag. But The Undertaker did that night, and he chose to wrestle Batista for the World Heavyweight Championship. This is the problem I have with that.
Lay it on me.
No one in their right mind would choose to wrestle for the World Heavyweight Championship. They would choose the WWE title.
But do you think at this time that the WWE was that much more prestigious than the World Heavyweight? Because World Heavyweight main evented 20.
That's true. You
know? That's 21.
That's true. I don't know. I guess just to me, I always looked at the WWE title as being more prestigious. Just because I always looked at the World Heavyweight title as it being the WCW championship. And In my mind, since WCW went out of business, it wasn't as prestigious anymore.
Yeah, I follow that logic. I get that.
I don't know. But he did. He chose to wrestle for the World Heavyweight title, which the champion at the time was Batista.
The animal
Batista. The recently returning Batista, who won the Royal Rumble this year.
Yeah, 2014 Royal Rumble winner.
Yeah, also 2005, so two-time Royal Rumble winner. I think only putting him in company of guys like John Cena, Shawn Michaels, and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Good company. But so at this time, though, not this year, he was the World Heavyweight Champion, meaning that the winner of the Royal Rumble, Undertaker, was set to face it off against him. But this was back when they were choosing who they could face, so Undertaker could have made the choice to go WWE, correct?
Yeah, and I don't remember who the WWE Champion was at this time.
23? It was Cena, wasn't it?
It probably was John Cena. Yeah, that makes sense.
But despite it, Undertaker went for Batista. And actually, this was actually a pretty awesome match.
Yeah, I remember really liking this match.
You know, and I don't like Batista, but I will say that there are some bright spots, and this is definitely one of those bright spots.
Oh, yes, most definitely. I remember, I think he hit him with a Batista bomb, and I thought that was actually going to be the end of the streak. This was another guy. This was another time I legitimately thought the streak was going to end. I thought
it's feasible. You could see them letting Batista do it.
Because they were giving him a lot of looks, man. They were giving Batista a lot of looks. And I thought this was fun at the time.
You compare it to 22, no one thought Mark Henry was going to win.
No. I knew he was going to lose for sure.
Yeah, Batista, the unbelievability in him beating The Undertaker. So that really adds to the whole greatness of that match as well.
Yeah, so I believe Undertaker, boom, hits him with the Tombstone Piledriver and making him the new World Heavyweight Champion. Undertaker, actually the first man in history to win both the WWF/E and World Heavyweight Championships at WrestleMania.
I did not know that. The legend continues. The legend grows.
And I believe they had like a nice little feud after this. They had a last man standing match, a steel cage match. And then at the end of the steel cage match, I believe Edge came in, cashed in his Money in the Bank for the second time, which somehow he won from Mr. Kennedy. And beat The Undertaker for the World Heavyweight Championship after the cage match.
Yep.
Which is a great segue because WrestleMania 24, the 16th match in the streak, Undertaker fought Edge.
Yeah, the same guy that cashed in on him not too long ago. He was coming for some revenge.
Yeah, Edge pretended to be a cameraman, which wound up costing The Undertaker a chance to retain the title from Batista in the Hell in a Cell match. Following month, Edge regained the title in a triple threat bout against Batista and The Undertaker with the help of Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins.
Wow.
Yeah, and The Undertaker then earned his title shot at the Elimination Chamber at No Way Out. He won the Elimination Chamber, and that gave him the number one contender match.
And the stage was set for Edge to defend the World Heavyweight Championship against The Undertaker. And I think both you and I have heard Edge on Chris Jericho's podcast talking very, very fondly of this match.
Yeah, like they only worked like one. Or was this the first time they worked ever? Was this, or they worked like once before?
I think this was the second time they had ever worked with one another, which is pretty mind blowing.
Yeah, especially at WrestleMania to put that much faith into two competitors to really just pull it out.
For sure. A lot of faith put in Edge, even more so, I think. I think people always know Undertaker will deliver. But a great match, and hard to believe they had only worked minimally before.
Yeah, no, definitely. I remember this match, really liking it. The Edge heads, Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, interfered in this match. Undertaker still won the match, though, via submission when Edge tapped out to the then unnamed Hell's Gate submission hold.
Really, really cool ending. Really, really cool ending. I love that move. I really do.
Because this is really height of like UFC fever, you know, Ultimate Fighter and all that good stuff. And I believe like this was Undertaker kind of adapting that into wrestling and getting yet another evolution in the Undertaker's finishers, adding a fourth one with the Hell's Gate.
Right.
Which is amazing. I remember I loved that match, and Undertaker wins the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, I guess, again.
Right. So for the second year in a row, he has dethroned the World Heavyweight Champion and taken the belt for himself.
Man, that's a lot. You know, that's a pretty big pretty big deal. That was my Larry David.
You're right, Larry David. It is.
I'm glad you picked up on it. Yes.
You know, I like to point out the fact that, you know, like you were saying, that he's evolving and adding these new finishers. Like, this late in his career, like, he doesn't have to do that. People are there to see the whole, you know.
As Colt Cabana would say, he has the honky-tonk man gimmick. You know, people just, well, they want to see The Undertaker. He's got the gimmick that will always last him, and they just want to see him come out, dead man theme. You know, hit a tombstone.
Yeah, hit the choke slam, hit the tombstone pile driver. But he innovates, and I think that is amazing. And that speaks to why he is so highly regarded as one of the best to ever do it.
Great worker, too, man. Like, I mean, when he does – anytime – and I look forward to every WrestleMania for him to do it. Anytime he does that over-the-top rope dive, the dead man's dive.
That's beautiful. I love it.
God, man. What a great thing. And I want to talk about that in his match with Shawn Michaels, after he won the title from Edge, a few days after beating Edge at Backlash with the same move with the Hell's Gate, SmackDown General Manager Vicky Guerrero stripped Undertaker of the World Heavyweight Title because she deemed the move to be illegal. Undertaker then beat Edge via countout at Judgment Day, but Vicky ruled that the title was still vacant due to the match not ending by pinfall or submission. Edge finally beat The Undertaker at One Night Stand in a TLC match, and due to pre-match stipulations, Undertaker was banned from the WWE.
Ouch.
And then it was actually after Edge cheated on Vicky Guerrero with their wedding planner, Vicky reinstated The Undertaker, and then he beat Edge in a Hell in a Cell match at SummerSlam.
You see how that just took like a complete nosedive at the very end?
Yeah, it was really good up until cheated with her on the wedding planner. Like,
yeah, see, that's just like, come on. You were so close.
You were so close to a perfect storyline. Wedding
Terrible.
Planner. Was the wedding planner Alicia Fox, or did I make that up?
I have no idea. I don't know. I've suppressed that. That's terrible.
I think I made that up. It was terrible. But that makes Undertaker 16-0 at WrestleMania. At this point, Kyle, do you think anyone will ever beat The Undertaker? At this point, in your mind?
At this point, no. At this point, I do not. I think at this point, though, the streak thing is completely solidified, and he's not going to lose.
Let me ask you this. If he did lose, what would your reaction have been? To anybody, but let's just say right now to Edge, what would your reaction have been?
To Edge? I would have been upset if it was to Edge, because I don't think Edge needed it at this time. He was like a multiple-time WWE and World Heavyweight Champion at this mm-hmm. time. See, this is the thing about the streak ending. It's like, and I we'll talk about it real brief. I just think that it has to be the thing that makes the person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can get into that later.
We'll get into that after we talk about everything, but
yeah.
Okay.
But in my eyes, no. Not Edge. Couldn't have been Edge.
Okay, so let's go up to the 17th match in the streak at the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania, which technically, now that I'm thinking about it, is that the 25th anniversary?
It's yeah, WrestleMania. It's the 25th one.
It's the 25th one, but it's not the 25th anniversary.
Why? What's your logic?
Because, okay, WrestleMania 1 to WrestleMania 2, that WrestleMania 2 is the first year anniversary of WrestleMania.
See, this is what they don't want you to do. They don't want you to think. They just want you to accept it at face value.
Wow, wait, so this wasn't even the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania?
Brad, can I point something out?
What?
We've been talking for the past hour and some change about a guy that pretends to have come back from the dead, and what he does with his powers is professional wrestling. So we can let them slide on the 25th anniversary.
Great point. Oh man. Oh.
But
Jesus.
moving on to pretty much from here on out, Undertaker's matches are like of mythical proportions. Like it has now become like one of the main attractions for WrestleMania, and it's a huge, huge deal at this point.
Okay. Yeah. After his victory against Edge. This every match afterward is bigger than any world championship match.
Right, that's a great way to put it. The streak at this point has officially become more important than the titles,
which is crazy when you think about it. But
yeah,
it surpassed the titles. I mean, bar none. Like, people wanted to see the Undertaker streak match more than they wanted to see any world title match. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
It's insane. So at the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania, which was right here in Houston, Texas, which is actually also regarded as one of the worst WrestleManias of all time. So it's kind of
so Houston got the best and the worst.
Best and the worst. You know, we can't help it. We have to even ourselves out. We can never be the best at something. His opponent that night was the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Wow. Now, you have to understand that these guys have tons of history leading up to this, and they have both, at this point, established themselves as, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say gods of professional wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling gods. No JBL. These two were wrestling right. gods. Yeah, I mean, Shawn, at this point, was actually named Mr. WrestleMania for his great performances at every WrestleMania he's been in. And The Undertaker is the king of WrestleMania, as far as I'm concerned. And you know, undefeated at WrestleMania. So it's like you had the two titans, and at this point, the last two guys to appear on the first episode of Monday Night Raw, who are currently on the roster, you had like these, they were pretty historic figures in the company. And for them to go one-on-one at WrestleMania was a big deal. And I believe, though, I believe Sean actually defeated both JBL and then he beat Vladimir Kozlov to earn the right to challenge Undertaker at WrestleMania. So, like, this was, they were treating it like it was a title match.
Yeah, yeah, they were. They were. And I think it's important to note that, correct me if I'm wrong, but Undertaker and Shawn were not on the same show at this time. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe Undertaker has always been a SmackDown guy.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. So, so seeing these guys interact with one another, you know, before this match was on the cards was a rarity. So that also added to the whole mystique of everything.
Yeah, and it's this match has been regarded as by Shawn Michaels, by the WWE Universe, by employees of WWE, by fans of professional wrestling. Only person I haven't heard from about this match is Undertaker himself. But everyone says this match is a perfect wrestling match.
Right, right. Yeah, this match is regarded as one of the best of all time, bar none.
Not just at WrestleMania. One of the greatest matches ever, if not the greatest match ever. Shawn Michaels said, if that's not perfect, it's as close as you're going to get.
And I think that's a fair assessment.
Do you think this match surpasses Steamboat Savage WrestleMania 3?
I think so, without a doubt. Because these guys, Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, are so much more relevant to my life than, you know, quite frankly, Steamboat or Savage were. So this one was definitely a much bigger deal for me than that one will ever be.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Even though Savage is near and dear to me, I think Shawn and Undertaker is like, wow, I can't believe these two guys are wrestling at WrestleMania in Houston, right, Texas. Why I wasn't there, I will never know. But
same here.
Yeah. But match was amazing. Back and forth, kickouts, finishes, false finishes, all kinds of crazy stuff. I believe at the end of the match, Shawn goes up to the top rope to hit Undertaker with a moonsault, but Undertaker was right there to catch him and give him a tombstone pile driver for the win.
Ooh, dear Lord.
Great way to finish a match, too.
Oh, amazing way to finish a match.
It was just like, I remember watching this match and saying, holy cow. I know why I could never be a professional wrestler, because guys are so, like, honestly, I hate to say this, if I were anyone else on that card, I would feel ashamed of myself for the work I put in. Like, Matt and Jeff had a match against each other, Extreme Rules match to, I think, open the show. And it's just like, how do you go, it was a terrible match, by the way. And it's like, how do you go from that to the greatest match of all time?
Like, with two guys that are up there age-wise. Let's keep that in mind.
Yeah, they're both in the, you know, twilight, if you will, of their career.
Right.
And Shawn, you know, after coming back in 2002, WrestleMania 25 was what, in 2010? 9?
8? 9? Yeah, wow. I'm not sure.
I'm bad at that. I can't believe I can't remember. But yeah, anyway. I think it was 2009. We'll say 2009.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's 2009 for sure.
Okay. And, man, it's just like, you know, they had to be at toward the end of their careers or, no, it was 2010, Kyle. We're stupid.
God damn it.
Or was it 2009? I feel so terrible. But it's regardless. I don't care anymore. They're in twilight of their career and they're both amazing athletes, put on the greatest match ever. And then, you know, because Shawn was on Raw and Undertaker was on SmackDown, they did not get to interact with each other. However, at the Slammy Awards later in the year, Shawn made it known that he wanted another chance to end the streak. And, like, ending the streak is pretty much, like, would put you as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion forever.
Yeah, like the ultimate title. Because there can only be one person to ever do it.
Yeah.
And it's nearly impossible to do.
Exactly. So Shawn calls out Undertaker pretty much repeatedly. And Undertaker, I don't think, wants to face Shawn. He kept refusing him for a rematch. And
right.
Now, let me ask you this. If you have a near-perfect match, why would you want to have a second one?
See, that's a good question. That's a good question. I want to know. I don't know.
My thing is they think two things. They think, one, well, if they did a great match once, they'll do a great match again. And I agree with that. They won't top the magic of the first match. I think the other thing is, who else are we going to put in the ring with Undertaker? Who else is worthy for WrestleMania?
Right. And this match was – Shawn Michaels' career was on the line in this match.
Yeah, eventually we got down to a – Shawn knew that as long as the Undertaker was a world heavyweight champion, he would not be able to face him. Shawn interfered in the Elimination Chamber match and cost Undertaker the title. This enraged Undertaker, who finally accepted Shawn Michaels' challenge. But the only stipulation was Shawn would have to retire if he lost.
Okay, so here's my question. Let me know what you think. Like you said, what would be the motivating factor for them trying to repeat a classic when it's, you know, not likely to capture the magic again, at least to the same degree? Do you think Shawn Michaels pushed for this knowing that this would be his last match and he wanted to go out against The Undertaker?
I could believe that. I could believe that would make sense to me, at least. More sense than it would just because to me it's like I wouldn't want to like mess up that I wouldn't want to tarnish that one match, even if, because it's a slim chance you're going to have a better match than perfect.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe Shawn was like, well, you know what? We did it so great last year. I want this to be my last match. Why not? You know. But you know, I always thought that Shawn would want to go out to Triple H on his last match. But I like that he went out to Undertaker.
Fair enough. And also, you have to keep in mind that, man, I just forgot what I was going to say.
Well, that sucks. Despite, Shawn kicks out a two tombstone pile drivers, the Undertaker was giving his signature throat slash gesture for a third one when he stopped and yelled at Shawn to stay down. Stay down, he kept telling Shawn. However, Shawn struggled up to his knees, and he did the throat gesture back to Undertaker and then slapped Undertaker in the face. Then Undertaker finally, boom, picked him up. Third tombstone pile driver to end the career of Shawn Michaels. I remember Michael Cole saying, you know, Shawn wanted to go out with a bang when he did that.
Right, right.
And that was the end of Shawn Michaels.
Oh, man. Okay, so I remember what I was going to say. Do you think that they booked Shawn Michaels two times in a row because fans like you and I, smarky people, would be like, maybe think that that would be a reason why Shawn would win because they would do the match back to back? Like, kind of like, are they trying to swerve us right now?
You know, I didn't think about that at the time, but thinking about it now, I completely agree with you. Yeah. I think it would have been like, every wrestling fan should have been like, oh, wait, this is the second year in a row. This is it.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
they're going to, you know, and they're not going to retire Shawn Michaels,
right,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I could definitely see how this might have been the match to think, yep, streak's over, you know.
Yeah.
And but that was the 18th
win. It was a really, really great match. Again, it's hard to compare it to the match at WrestleMania 25, but it's still a great match.
Yeah, an amazing, amazing match. And after Shawn's career was over, The Undertaker will wind up missing for like a long time because – he was put into a quote-unquote vegetative state by his brother Kane.
Kane always coming for Undertaker, you know? They just can't get along.
Yes, and I think Kane was disgusted by his Undertaker's actions because he thought he was weak. He had a weakness or something, and the feud ended either in like some kind of like, I think it was either a Hell in a Cell or Buried Alive match or something. I don't remember.
Something very Undertaker and Kane-esque.
And I think Kane was a world champion, too, at the time.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. It's all coming back to me. This was when Kane did hold the belt, finally, and he did feud with Taker for it quite a bit.
You say finally. Why do you think they never really put the strap on Kane?
I have no idea. I've heard rumors that he's refused it. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but, you know, I don't think we'll ever really know.
He was WWF champion for 24 hours, I remember.
He was. I do remember that, but that was very brief.
Yeah, I don't know why they never really just put it. He was ECW champion. But who really cares? I remember there was like a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view or Buried Alive match, something. I remember something, but Undertaker ended up losing to Kane in that match. Anyway, though, we round out to WrestleMania 27. I remember WrestleMania 27 for several reasons. It was the return of The Rock to host WrestleMania, which was a big deal. I remember being really excited about that when they announced it in February. I also remember The Miz and John Cena was the main event for the WWE Championship.
Which is mind-numbing.
Yeah, kind of crazy that they go with Miz.
It was crazy then, and it's crazy looking back on it. It was never a good idea, ever.
I think they were really just trying to put all their eggs in the Miz basket, and it just didn't... That Easter wasn't good to Vince McMahon. But, not at all. But The Undertaker returned to Raw in February on 2/21/11 after weeks of those, like, remember those promos that were like vignettes with the date on it and we didn't really know what it was? The tease and the date. And the Undertaker came out to address the crowd of following his hiatus, but right before he could, Triple H, who had also been gone for a long time at this point, came back, made his way to the ring. And they had a promo in the middle of the ring for several minutes, it felt like, without saying anything.
This was a really, really, really cool moment.
Yeah, they used no words, and everyone knew what was... It's crazy because they used no words, and we all knew what was going to happen.
Right, yeah. So they're in the middle of the ring. They're death staring one another. And around WrestleMania season, they'll have the WrestleMania logo hanging from the rafters, you know?
Yeah.
And they both, I think, is it Triple H? He looks at it first, kind of insinuating, I'll see you at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's confirmed. And then,
Undertaker later requested it to be a no-holds-barred match. If you remember. Man.
I do. I just remembering that the promo of no words is just another notch on Undertaker's badass belt. You know, just like the guy's amazing. You know,
he really is, man. It's almost stupid that he can go out there and, like I said, one of my favorite promo guys. And Triple H, to his credit, is a great promo guy too. And
right, not to take away anything from Triple H. I mean, they're both great at what they do, but Undertaker is truly a myth, you know, truly of mythical proportions.
Yeah, he definitely is. And so they go into WrestleMania 27, which is hosted by The Rock. I remember also there being a match, Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole with Stone Cold Steve Austin as a special guest referee at that same WrestleMania. Beautiful.
Match.
Yeah. Goes down in the history as almost the better match than Taker and Shawn had. Triple H. The Undertaker forced Triple H to submit to Hell's Gate, but it was a huge physical battle though at WrestleMania. Undertaker survived 3 pedigrees. I believe Triple H tombstoned him, hit him with a chair several times, put him through a table, through the coal mine. At the time, crazy match.
It was brutal. And at the end of it, Undertaker won, but he did not walk out of the arena.
Yes.
He was a broken man. He survived by the skin on his teeth.
Yeah, crazy that he couldn't walk out on his... And I think that was a shoot. I think he legitimately couldn't walk out.
Oh, really?
I think so, but I might just be believing in The Undertaker too much.
Which is perfectly fine. Either way, I mean, the match was a really, really, really solid match. Really brutal stuff, and Undertaker definitely looked like he was within inches of losing the streak that night.
Did you think this was going to be the night?
No. I didn't.
You didn't. Okay. So Undertaker wasn't seen for almost a year after this. And even though he won the match, The Undertaker felt like he lost, like you were saying, because he couldn't walk out of the stadium on his own.
Right.
And he definitely didn't want to fight again. Do you remember? He didn't want to fight again. He knew. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm going to cut that part out. Hold on.
Yeah.
After initially not wanting to fight again because he knew he had to end The Undertaker if they fought again, it would be bad for business. But Triple H finally relented, finally decided, okay, let's do it. You know, I'm going to face you in another match. But this time, right. I want it to be in a Hell in a Cell match.
And this would be the second time Undertaker competed in a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania.
Yes, following the oh-so-epic WrestleMania 15 against the Big Boss Man.
we're about to do a huge step in quality improvement for Hell in a Cell.
Yes. And we can't forget, there was a special referee for this match.
And that person was the only person appropriate to be the special guest referee, Shawn Michaels.
The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Couldn't have been anybody else. Triple H's best friend, the man that The Undertaker had put down 2 years before. This was beautiful.
Yes, it was. And was it such a great match? You know, definitely for me, stole the show, even though all the hype, you know, the biggest main event of all time with The Rock versus John Cena was the big draw. This match was amazing.
Agreed. This was the match of the night with CM Punk and Chris Jericho. Well, not really in the same league. I mean, this match, again, had the whole mystique of The Undertaker. You throw in Shawn Michaels, and you put it in a Hell in a Cell. I mean, that's amazing.
I'll read this brief synopsis of this match. This was one of the most brutal matches, though, ever that Undertaker had at WrestleMania. During the bout, Triple H hit him with over a dozen chair shots on the back. The Undertaker, like, was welted. And if you remember, this was the debut of the Mohawk Undertaker.
Oh, yeah, which I actually like.
I like the Mohawk Undertaker. But they had some, like, I think he was just losing his hair, to me.
Yeah, probably.
And he just needed up there. Yeah, he's up there. You know, his hairline was receding throughout the years. I think he just wanted to, like cut it off. But I remember them having some stupid story, though, of why his hair was cut. Michael Cole would say Undertaker was shaving his head every day until Triple H accepted his challenge.
Yeah.
I didn't really so much follow that.
Whatever. You know, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, I think that was probably like a Vince thing that was fed to Michael Cole. Like, talk about why his hair is so short.
Yeah.
But brutal match. Dozen chair shots over the back. Undertaker was welting. His back was looking terrible. He was getting hit by the chair, the ring steps, a sledgehammer. I believe Shawn Michaels, boom, hits him with the Sweet Chin Music.
Goes to pedigree, right? It's like he super kicks him. He stumbles into the pedigree.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Now,
that's awesome.
Now, at that very moment, super kick into the pedigree, I thought it was the end of the streak.
Really? See, I knew there was no way it was going to end here. There's no way they were going to make it 19-1. When it could just as easily be 20-0.
Okay, I agree. Well, Undertaker was able to pin Triple H after a tombstone pile driver in the center of the ring, and the 1-2-3 happened. And then at the end of the show, though, I thought something was really great. And this is why the match was billed as the end of an era, right?
Right.
So to you, what does that mean?
To me, it meant Undertaker's last match. That was bluntly the translation that I took from it. I know some people think it's like the attitude thing, but to me, it was what they were saying is this is Undertaker's last match.
Yeah, this is the end of the era. This is Undertaker's last match. And quite frankly, I thought possibly Triple H's last match. I thought possibly Triple H's.
That makes sense. You know, the end of both of them, that would be the end of an era.
And you know what made me think it even more is that at the end of the match when all three of them were at the top of the ramp and they all, like, you know, do you remember Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, like, kind of helped Triple H, like, up the ramp?
Yeah.
They all kind of, like, you know, raised their hands together. Like, yeah, we just fucking destroyed the show.
Yeah, like the three patriarchs of, you know, the last generation, you know, like...
Yeah.
their last big hurrah was the whole feeling, you know, that whole walking out together and stuff like that. That's the feeling that I got from that.
So yeah, 20-0 this extended Undertaker streak, and I thought that was it. I mean, what a perfect way to end your career. 20-0 at WrestleMania. You go out in one of the, you know, one of the better WrestleMania matches of all time too. That match was almost an hour long too. And
yeah, great match.
Amazing match. Shawn Michaels really also played a big role in the match being so amazing to me. Yeah, I'm thinking they put out the Streak DVD, the 20-0 Streak DVD, a little documentary to go along with it. This is it for The Undertaker.
Right. And I think 20-0 sounds so good.
Oh, amazing. 20-0. It's just a 20 years of, you know, 20 plus years, but 20 WrestleManias. It's just an amazing thing. You know, out of the 28 at the time they had, he was in 20 of them and won. You know what I mean? Like, what a great way to end. So, I thought it was weird when one night on, I believe, Monday Night Raw, CM Punk, Sheamus, Randy Orton, and The Big Show competed in a Fatal 4-Way match. And the winner would get to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania to beat The Streak.
Very weird how they did that.
Yeah, I don't like the whole, like, let me, I don't know. I just didn't like how he had that. One, they had to earn it. And two, I was like, why is The Undertaker coming back?
Yeah, no, here's the thing.
Because he did appear at Raw 1000 with Kane. That was the second time I've seen Undertaker. And that was the first time I saw him after WrestleMania. But,
right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that we're on the same page here that he probably – okay, he should have ended it at 20 unless he's going to go all the way to 25.
Yes.
Is how I
– agreed. Do you think – do you think, one, he'll make it to WrestleMania 25 – matches?
I don't know. I feel like no. You know, like he's already wrestling once a year.
Yeah.
Like, dude, just retire. But regardless of how we feel, he did go on to have that 21st match at WrestleMania.
Now, let me ask you this. CM Punk, Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show. Obviously, I think everyone knew it was going to be CM Punk. He faced Big Show before, faced Randy Orton before. I honestly, for a while, but like at WrestleMania 27, you know who I thought he might face, and there's a rumor that he would face, was Wade Barrett.
Yeah, I actually remember this.
And I thought that what a bet, and that's, I meant to say this earlier, that's when I thought I could see Undertaker losing to Wade Barrett. And as crazy as that sounds now, I thought Wade Barrett was going to be the next huge star in the company. First, I was going to put him as the, you know, first British World Heavyweight Champion, first beat the Streak. Like, he was, that would have made him, you know, the new John Cena in a lot of ways. I mean, yeah, you know, good-looking guy, going to be in movies. Like, I could see it for him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree with you.
And then I also heard rumors of Sheamus. So when I saw this Fatal 4-Way match, I was like, okay, it's either going to be Punk or Sheamus. But I also heard rumors of CM Punk, so I was like, it's got to be Punk. I mean, especially coming off of that 434-day WWE title run, you know, losing to The Rock. You got to give him something big at Mania.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, Punk, it had to be Punk. I mean, because for exactly the reasons you just said. He was just like, very recently pushed out of the title picture that he had dominated for a year and some change. So there had to be something huge for him at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I definitely think this, you know, obviously is the only thing bigger than the title. John Cena and The Rock once again headlined this WrestleMania, which was regarded as a pretty weak WrestleMania. That WrestleMania 29 was.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite, honestly. I didn't like a lot of the matches, but I look forward to this one. I look forward to this one, and I look forward to Triple H versus Brock Lesnar, and I enjoyed both of them.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and the thing though is like when you do like. You know, he earned the match. It's like, well, they don't really have a rivalry. He just earned the match. You know what I mean? And CM Punk was still kind of babyface at this time. You know, even though, you know, he wasn't babyface, but he pretty much, like, he was. The fans still loved him.
The fans did not want to boo him. He wasn't going to get booed.
Yeah, he wasn't getting booed. And even though he turned, you know, heel for his run with The Rock. But, yeah, So it was like, I don't know where they're going to go with this, but as wrestling works in mysterious ways, Paul Bearer passes away during this whole feud.
Right.
Undertaker's, you know, longtime manager, you know, father, you know, in some stories. Paul Bearer passes away. And the crazy thing, I actually have never said this publicly, I actually was in correspondence with Paul Bearer prior to his passing, trying to get him on my other podcast, The Brad Gilmore Show, and we just couldn't find a date. We could never find a day to do it. And then I heard the news he was passing, and crazy, good, you know, nice man from the contact that I had with him. Gave me some good advice in my wrestling career. Paul Bearer passes away, and CM Punk takes that ball and runs with it.
He does. And something that I could see how it could offend a lot of people, and a lot of people would think it was in poor taste, but this rivalry basically centered around the fact that Paul Bearer had passed away, like, during the buildup of all this. I'm going to say something, and I want to make sure that no one interprets this the wrong way.
Okay.
But the timing of this was perfect, and I don't mean that disrespectfully to Paul Bearer or anything like that. So, but I mean, as far as from a creative and storytelling standpoint, the timing for this couldn't have been better.
Yeah.
Because his death was used to generate all of the animosity between these two guys, and it really made for a great story. It surprisingly became a great story.
Yeah, I mean, a few things I want to say is, like, one, like, I mean, what a way to honor the guy by making him pretty much the main part of this whole match at, you know, Undertaker at WrestleMania, the biggest WrestleMania of all time.
Okay.
So not only, you know, is he like the center of attention and everything, but it's like everyone said, like, his family would have wanted it this way. You know what I mean? And that's what kind of eased my mind about it, is that his family was okay with it. Now, only saying that, there was some great stuff with CM Punk and Paul Heyman. Like, great.
God, yeah. Fantastic stuff.
The stealing of the urn, and I remember Punk was, like, doing a promo on Undertaker, and he was, like, juggling it in the back.
Oh, yeah.
And throwing it, and then he drops, and he's like, oh, shit. And he actually says that, and they blur it out, and, like, I mean, they beep it out or whatever, and I'm like, oh, my Lord, how great is this? And then
I don't think there's any two guys that could have taken something that could have potentially been so, like, you know, disrespectful, and doing it in a way where they're still full out heels, but still respecting
being uber, you know, respectful. I mean, you know, I'm gonna admit something to you. For a split second, I thought the Paul Bearer thing was a work. I'm not gonna lie. For a split second, yes. Because there was a moment where Paul Heyman came out as Paul Bearer, but when I heard the "oh yes," I was like, wait a minute. Whoa. And then, you know, obviously, like, a couple seconds later, I see it's Paul Heyman dressed exactly like Paul Bearer with the makeup and everything. Great.
I remember exactly what you're talking about, and it's uncanny. That moment was really just like, whoa.
Yeah, it was a little crazy. But the match was a great match.
Great match.
CM Punk, I thought, might have been the guy. I honestly was like, you know what? They're going to do 20-1. They're going to push CM Punk now to the moon. He will forever be a main eventer. He will never not be the main event of WrestleMania. You know, like, he defeated The Undertaker.
And I will agree with you. This is the first time in quite a few years that I actually thought the streak could end.
Yeah. Did you want it to end?
A part of me did, honestly. I mean, I love CM Punk, and I think that he's worthy of that. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm glad it didn't end, you know, I don't know. There was definitely a part of me going in that was like, I want to see CM Punk beat the streak.
Yeah.
He may have been the only person that I was really, like, really, really actively pulling for in the heat of the moment. Because it came, once it set into me, like, it was like, wow, CM Punk, could he beat the streak? I was like, hell yeah, I want to see that. Yeah. It'd be so crazy.
And you got to think CM Punk was being such a heel throughout this whole match. He tried to win the match disqualification. He tried to win by count out. And Undertaker kept, like, you know, all the disrespectful annex to Paul Bearer. And I remember CM Punk, I think, did old school, and, you know, he did the Macho Man elbow on the Spanish announce table.
Yeah.
And then I think he was going for the tombstone. He stuck the tongue out or whatever, and it was so great. And then there's a great, like, freeze frame that turned into a meme of, like, the Undertaker staring at CM Punk and CM Punk looking scared to death of everything.
That's so awesome.
Great shot.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, Bradwell. You and I both feel the same way about the whole 20-0 thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you possess the power to rewrite history, would you go back and have this WrestleMania 29 match with CM Punk never happen?
You know, if I had the pen and I could erase this match, or I could choose to keep it, I would choose to keep it. And I'll tell you why. Because, one, I always wanted to see CM Punk fight The Undertaker. But more importantly, it almost was, you know, paid the ultimate homage to Paul Bearer. And, you know, even Undertaker having the RIP PB tights on and dedicating the whole match to Paul Bearer, almost like a, like, you know, the best, in the most classy way, in a sense, you know, a wrestling manager could be immortalized at WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
No, I totally get what you mean. I think you changed my mind. I think that's a really good point.
Yeah. So you would have erased it prior to my saying that?
Yeah. Honestly, I would have just. Honestly, just for that 20-0,
you know? The 20-0 should have been what it's at, though. Like, I do agree with that.
I don't know.
That extended The Undertaker's winning streak to 21-0. Undertaker regained possession of the urn that was stolen from him at the end of the match, pays tribute to Paul Bearer. So let's say this, Kyle. WrestleMania 30 is on our heels. We're almost there.
It is.
We're on the road to WrestleMania. What do you think? Now, at the time that we're doing this, Undertaker has not been announced. He might be by the time this airs. That's the one thing that we're going to have to accept with podcasting in advance. But at this time, Undertaker at WrestleMania 30, yes or no?
Oh, man.
Do you think it will happen?
Oh, I do think it'll – yes. I'll say yes. Yes.
Okay. Now, let's figure out who we think The Undertaker will wrestle at WrestleMania 30. There are several options. Let's hear what you think is going to happen.
Okay, what do I think? Okay, as far as what I think realistically can happen, I have no idea. Because the way that they're booking right now, I don't know where Undertaker comes in.
Yeah.
As far as people that I would like to see him, like if we could just completely ignore storylines and just pick from the current roster who we'd like to match him up with.
We can do that.
Brock Lesnar or Daniel Bryan.
Brock Lesnar or Daniel Bryan, and I'll throw a couple others at you. I have five potential matches for Undertaker at WrestleMania 30. The big rumored one would be Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker. I would love to see, I think it'd be real UFC style. A lot of striking, a lot of holds. I would love to see it. I always liked when they worked back in the day, too.
Absolutely.
My other match, Daniel Bryan versus The Undertaker. I mean, and the only thing I'm worried about is I don't – okay, do you want to see the streak end, yes or no?
No.
I don't either. Only thing I'm worried about is that the WWE would give that rub to Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is over as hell. And I know – I think that everything they're doing right now where they're holding him back, quote unquote, is all at work. I completely think it's all at work.
Okay, well, do you think it's so much a work that they would let him win at WrestleMania over Undertaker?
Well, I'm going to say this. At this time, I don't think he's going to be in the world championship shot.
Okay.
There's a chance that he will be. But at this time, I don't think he is. So, I'm saying that to say, if he's not in the world title match, people are going to be pissed off. What's the only way you could avenge this whole summer of Bryan?
Undertaker at WrestleMania.
And defeating him.
You think that he has to defeat him to...
No, I don't think he has to, but...
Maybe, like, the ref is out and he gets a three count, theoretically.
I would buy that.
I think that would be, like, the only way you could really do it.
Yeah, I agree with that. But that's another potential person who I think could win. I also think The Undertaker versus The Shield.
Okay, there's definitely history to back this up, given that he was put out of commission by the Shield the most recently time he was put out of commission.
Yeah, and I would think it would be not 3-on-1 handicap match style, gauntlet style. Start off with Seth Rollins, goes through him in about 5 minutes. Dean Ambrose, about 12 minutes. And then Roman Reigns, give him about 20 minutes. And he defeats all three of them, though.
Okay, here's how I feel about that. I love the Shield, but I don't want to see that happen because it makes them look really weak.
Well, they're already, at this time, about to break up.
They're about to break up. I would rather just see them all three in separate matches, even moved on from the whole Shield thing.
Or would you rather see them in a triple threat match against each other?
No, I want to see them all go on to do different things, honestly.
Okay, I'll accept that. Another potential one, I've named three. A fourth one that I've heard could happen, but I'm not going to put money on it, is The Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt.
Man, I don't think that will happen. I think that it could be, it's not WrestleMania worthy. I would love to see those two guys work together because I think their characters would work well with one another. But Bray's not WrestleMania.
And lastly, what I've been reading online has been a rumor for several years, but seems more possible than ever this year. We've talked about it before. The Undertaker versus Sting.
Man. What is Sting's status? He's not with TNA as of the recording of this podcast. Is that correct?
As of the recording of the podcast, he is both storyline not in TNA and doesn't have an official deal with TNA currently.
You know, I feel like this conversation comes up
every WrestleMania.
Around this time. Every WrestleMania, I think everybody would love to see it, but each year that it passes, we all know that it's going to be a lesser and lesser match. And at this point, I don't know. I really don't know what good it would do for anybody, except for the fact that it'd just be like this complete nostalgia fest and like this fantasy match that everybody wanted to see.
And
but would the match be that good?
I don't know if the match would be that good, but think about the pay-per-view sales.
Oh, well, that would be, yeah. I'm trying not to think like a businessman here.
It's hard not to. but from reports, I mean, Sting has been talking to WWE.
Okay.
It's confirmed that he has at least talked to WWE. I think a great way to bring Sting in, is The Undertaker returns on a Raw soon, you know, or whatever. And he's, you know, talking, doing some, cutting some promo. And the Shield comes out from the crowd. And is getting ready to, you know, triple powerbomb The Undertaker or whatever, right?
Right, right.
And as soon as they start to triple powerbomb, lights go out. When lights come back on, Sting is in the middle of the ring with the trench coat and the baseball bat. And,
dude.
And the Shield jumps out of the ring and he just points at them, looks at Undertaker, and does the death drop, the death drop to Undertaker.
I would lose my fucking mind.
How great
Seriously,
would that be?
That would be. I can't even think about that. That would be unreal. Wow.
That would be.
You should book for WWE.
That's good, right?
You should make this happen.
That was good.
That was really good. I love that.
I would love to see it.
Let me throw out another possibility,
okay?
Which I think may be within the realm of possibility. John Cena.
John, you know what? I would like to see that match.
I think I'd like to see it as well.
I would really like to see that match. I think
it's not on the top of my list, but if that's what they went with, I would be okay with that.
I would definitely be okay if that's what they went with. Pretty much all these options, except for maybe Bray Wyatt and the Shield, I would be pretty excited to see.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, I would definitely like that. On that note, this concludes our dive in, our two-part dive into the streak with The Undertaker. Kyle, any closing comments?
Just, you know, a lot of these matches are bona fide classics. And I think that going through the streak is a great history lesson, and you get to see so many eras of the WWE just following Undertaker's matches throughout the years at WrestleMania, and you should definitely check them out.
Most definitely. Make sure y'all go, if y'all are listening, you know, via a Podbean link or something, go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button, give us 5 stars, give us a little review. If you like hearing the sound of my voice, check me out on the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand, also on iTunes. Kyle, I think we're going to be back next time with our special episode of covering a historic and significant event in professional wrestling history. You want to tell them what we'll be covering?
Obviously, we're going to be covering the launch of the WWE Network.
The WWE Network will be our next podcast. I am so excited.
Yes, yes. And by the time that you get that podcast, please know that me and Brad are going to have probably hours upon hours of experience with the network.
Yes.
So we're going to be giving you some in-depth info.
Yeah,
we might even sell it to you.
Yeah, sell it to you. We might have a hour long infomercial on the WWE
Network. Right.
2 hours of Undertaker streakage. And with that, Mr. Kyle Hubbard, I will see you, hear you, and they will hear us next time on the announce table. See you soon.
Farewell, my friends.
Farewell.